Welcome to Blog Talk Radio in high fidelity. Yes, hello everybody, and welcome to the Miss Goldie to You radio show, First Lady with the Facts on Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives, and I always miss you guys so much. I'm out here in the nice, warm, beautiful weather in Atlanta, getting ready for the big A3C Festival. Yes, it's one of the biggest music festivals that they throw out here in Atlanta every year. Actually, right now, I'm broadcasting live from a performance at a studio by the artist Jay Hustle, Rah Rah Entertainment artist Jay Hustle. Follow him on Hustle Feng Shui. He got some hot stuff popping. And, you know, I got a good show lined up for you that I'm not only going to be airing tonight, but every Tuesday in the month of October. And it is called There Is Life After Prison. So with that being said, a lot of people are faced with difficulties when they get out of prison and they try to re-enter the community. And sometimes, you know, they just can't make it. And then you have people that do their time in prison, and they come out, and they become productive citizens. So we're going to figure out this month how we can help those that are not so productive become productive. Yay. So right now, we will take it to Artist of the Week, and I will be right back with the Miss Goldie T Radio Show, First Lady with the Facts.
Maybe both. I'm not sure. There's just someone screaming outside.
Okay, and is it a male or a female?
Here,
don't y'all. All right, well, we do have officers on the way. Just call us back if you do hear or see anything else suspicious, like any vehicles leaving or anything like that, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Y'all. Can't walk these dungeons, these streets I'm from them, but it hurts my bunions and I'm ready to snap, feeling raw like onions and I'm trying to get paid, but these cops they raid, kids run like roaches, caskets carried in coaches, I ain't going out like that, Trayvon got shot last week, they left him dead in the street and let the killer get away like that, man, can you imagine how his moms feel, there's a pain in the heart and it won't heal, yeah, try to teach your kids right, teach them don't steal, and they grow up anyway and they get killed by the neighborhood watch, like we gon' get your ass in the neighborhood watch, and it just won't stop, the war won't cease, we just want peace, we just want
clear skies, there are no clouds in our way, teardrops never fall from our face.
Son was murdered, and we miss him. He was murdered, and we you're not getting any answers, and it's very disturbing. I feel betrayed by the Sanford Police Department, and there's no way that I can instill trust in them and investigate this crime.
It's insanity, trying to suppress the freaking enemy. He wanna lift this stuff above God, it's only vanity. Nothing ever handed me, gotta get a job now. We in a recession, so will I have to steal and rob now to feed my daughter on this new world order? I asked God, is the time getting shorter? And he said yes, cause we the lost sheep, we the Jews. The people that suffer is the people he choose. So to all of my folks and people I ain't seen, keep your hands in the air if you've been fighting to keep a dream. Wish you luck, remember to keep winners on your team. Keep your faith in Allah, and the time won't seem like shines getting caught in the gleam and then it's gone. Why you stuck trying to calculate what went wrong? And this is why I had to bring it to you, put it in song. Cause you and I could have been Trayvon. It's gonna be
clear skies. There are no clouds in our way. Teardrops never fall from our face.
Dedicate this to the parents of Trayvon Martin, who lost his life in Sanford, Florida. And to all the mothers and fathers across the nation that have lost their daughters and sons to senseless violence, you will always be in our hearts, untouchable.
When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, this note was a promise that all men would be guaranteed life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Now is the time, those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content, we'll have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual.
Yes, and if you have just tuned in, you are now live with the Miss Goldie to You radio show, First Lady with the Facts on Culturezine Radio Network. And that was the artist Skilo, straight off the hip-hop for justice movement track. Artists, I encourage you to submit your positive music to hip-hop, the number 4justice.com, or you can also check it out on the Culturezine radio network, the Culturezine network website. And that was Skilo. I love that song. And, you know, rest in peace to Trayvon Martin. Rest in peace to all of the people that have been unjustly murdered by police officers and all the people that we have lost in our streets. And we will always hold the candle for them. And we will always be in the mourning for the people that we have lost unjustly. So, with that being said, our topic for tonight is there's life after prison. And like I keep stressing, I keep encouraging, some people go to prison and they're just not able to get their life back together. And then you have some people that go to prison and they are able to do exceedingly well. And before we take it to some of our callers, I would like to take it to the True School Artist of the Week on Culturezine Radio Network. And we'll be right back with the Miss Goldie to You radio show.
Mustang Sally, guess you better slow your Mustang down. Oh Lord, what I say now, Mustang Sally, now baby. Oh Lord, guess you better slow your Mustang down.
Yes, and if you have just tuned in to the Miss Goldie to You radio show, First Lady with the Facts on Culture Zine Radio Network, that was my main man, Wilson Pickett, with Wicked. You know what I mean? Like, rock, belly, rock. I know I can't sing, but so what? I'm just glad that everyone is tuning in, listening. I don't know how the weather is out there in New York, but I know that coming up, in the next week, I will be in New York. I will be attending the play, The Diary of a Mother, written by Hope Hollingsworth Coxon, and I'm so excited about seeing the play. She was a guest on my show last week. So if you miss any episodes of the Miss Goldie to You radio show, you can always log on to blogtalkradio.com/culturezine.network. They used to catch all the best episodes of the Miss Goldie to You radio show and other wonderful, lovely shows that are on the Culture Zine radio network. And as usual, shout out to my Culture Zine radio network family. Shout out to everybody in Yonkers. Shout out to my hometown and the people listening and my mom in Louisiana. You know how it goes. It's like a little roll call. I think I'm going to start a roll call. And, you know, I have my people that are calling in from all different parts of the world. And I just love it when we all get together and, you know, we chop it up. So coming up on the weeks to come, I will have different guests on my show. I will have Mr. Santana from Santana Law Firm. He was a former prosecutor and a former judge, and now he is a criminal defense attorney. So, you know, maybe you guys could get some good information, you know, get yourself out of some trouble, or, you know, call and ask him for some type of legal advice, you know. We all need a little help, and sometimes we get into half the trouble that we get into because we are not knowledgeable of the law, of the laws in our states, and the laws of our country. So I would encourage you people to become familiar with the laws of your state, the laws of your county. You know, in Yonkers, they have a such thing called the red zone. If you are caught committing any type of even minor crime in the red zone, it automatically lands you in jail because you were in a red zone. So me as a regular citizen, I mean, I don't know what the red zones are. They're not painted. There are no signs up that says you are entering a red zone. You can be arrested here. And these are streets that I grew up on and streets that I was used to traveling freely without the fear of that I would be arrested for being in certain neighborhoods. And I know the police and the government have to find a way to control certain neighborhoods that are more filled with crime and poverty. But also, like, I have been encouraging our young African-American and Hispanic people to take the police test. Go to school for criminal justice. That way you can monitor your own community. We can monitor our own community. And maybe we won't have so much, you know, people going to jail for the wrong reasons or people doing a lot of time in jail for crimes that may not have been, you know, so serious. Like, keep showing on the news how you have people that come from better backgrounds and upper scale communities that have commit the same type of crime as someone in an impoverished community, and they get more time. The person that lives in the poverty stricken community gets more time than the person that came from a better background. But does that make them different criminals? No. Does that make the crime any different? No. maybe the person that the people that are committed the crime have different color skin and different backgrounds, but it doesn't make it a different crime. And the punishment shouldn't be different according to where you were raised up or the color of your skin or your background or your previous history. Because, I mean, we all make mistakes. And I don't want a mistake that I made maybe at the age of 17 to follow me all the way until I'm well in adulthood where maybe I have changed my life now. So should I still be responsible and should I still have this black cloud hanging over my head of the crimes that I committed previously? I mean, is there ever a such thing as paying your debt to society? Is there ever a such thing as you did the crime, you did your time, and now your life should move on? I mean, I'm not really sure if that is an option for some people. Okay, so we have someone on the line. Your last four digits is 6755. And welcome to the Ms. Goldie to You radio show. Who am I speaking with?
Yes, this is Natural from
Hi, Natural. I'm so glad you joined us. I'm so glad you decided to call in. And Natural, you know the topic tonight is there life after prison? And, you know, give us a little synopsis of your story and your history and how your past is affecting your present.
Well, I started at a young age. I didn't get in trouble actually until like my late teens. I caught my first state bid, prison bid, I guess I was in my mid-20s, and I was, you know, running wild, hustling, and doing all types of things that, you know, that we should be doing. So now, here I am, catch a prison bid, 3 to 6 years, which gave me a B felony. Now, for those who don't have any felonies or don't have a record, my advice to you from experience is to stay out of trouble. Try your best to stay out of trouble, especially if you catch a felon. Now, what the felony does is ruins your life as far as you getting a good job. Regardless, you can have a master's degree, but if you have a felony on your record, you can kiss that master's degree goodbye.
Right. It's like you did all of that other work in vain once that felony hit your record.
Exactly. And everybody, as humans, we're entitled to make mistakes because there's only one perfect person in this world, and that is God.
Right.
So we make mistakes. You have people that have never been in trouble before. But guess what? It's such thing as a wrong place at the wrong time. For instance,
right.
Now, I'm from New York. I've been in Georgia for the last 6 years. Now, let me tell you where I made my mistake. My mistake was me going out to play pool late night. I had a couple of coronas. I didn't want to walk home because at the time I was on the West Side. And everybody from Atlanta knows that there's no walking around on the West Side for the warm mornings. You're either up to something or you're going to get into something.
Right.
So my mistake was that I saw some younger cats that I usually see all during the week. Yo, what's up, this and that. My mistake was I asked them for a ride to my house. Now, when I asked them for a ride to my house, not knowing, these dudes had three guns in the car. They had a shotgun, a .45, and a .38. Now, me, not knowing. Now, I'm down the street from my house. Almost in front of my house, we get pulled over. Everybody runs out the car. Me, I'm like, well, they ran. I'm not stupid. I'm running out the car, too. But long story short, I got caught, and I ended up in Fulton County for 80 days. And you know what? God saved me because had I got caught in New York, I would have got 25 years because I already have prior felons.
Right.
Now, see, this is a gun state, so it's not bad down here. In New York, down here, everybody has guns, so it's not as bad.
Right. So, so, your prior record would have automatically gotten you 25 years to life, even though at the present time you didn't have a gun, you wasn't committing a crime, but your record was...
My record.
You know, your history has preceded you, and here you are in trouble. Thank God it was in a state that allows guns and doesn't have as strict as gun control as New York does. But it's a perfect example of being in the wrong place at the wrong time and not feeling like you was actually doing anything wrong. But you can't tell that to the police once everybody ran out the car.
They didn't want to hear that. But you know what? They knew in their heart that, I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. That's why I ended up getting probation. But although I got probation, but guess what? They didn't knock the felonies off. So now, on top of that, I get two more felonies on my record for being at the wrong place at the wrong time. So now that even messed me up even more for a job, because now I have a gun charge on my record.
Wow.
Let me give you a real scenario real quick, right? What happened to me was, listen, and I felt so crazy, right? I went on a job interview for Kroger's. Went to Kroger's, right?
Uh-huh.
So I gave the guy my you know, my history and this and that. So he was telling me that I was overqualified, right? So now when he tells me I'm overqualified, I'm like, well, how do you be overqualified just to stack some stuff on the shelves and bag and do all that? I don't think it's any type of overqualification. So he said he checked the background. So when my background came back, he said, listen, Mr. Bazabar, I want to give you the job, but you have violence on your background. So he said, I want to give you the job, but just... What if you decide, we have a bank in here. What if you decide on your lunch break that you want to rob the bank?
Wow.
So now I'm looking at him, I say, you know what? I can't knock him because he's only doing his job. But I couldn't even get a job at Kroger's. You know how I felt? I couldn't even get a job at McDonald's. You know how I felt? Like, come on. That's decent. Like, I'm in my late 40s. A McDonald's job right now for me? Is not going to do it, but we know that sometimes you don't have a choice because you have to pay your bills. You don't want to be under the bridge.
Right.
So, you know, I just...
And that's exactly what we're discussing tonight. If you have just tuned in, you are now live with the Miss Goldie TU radio show. And we're talking to Mr. Natural, someone who is expressing to us how his prior felony convictions and being at the wrong place at the wrong time is prohibiting him from obtaining gainful employment. And I know a lot of you guys are also faced with, you know, not being able to get a job because of felonies, because of prior records. And we have someone else on the line, and we're going to bring them into this conversation. So your last four digits is 1706. Welcome to the Miss Goldie TU radio show. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, everybody.
Hi, is this Angie Mulani?
Yes, this is Angie Mulani. I just called to shout out my big sis, Goldie, holding him down in the ATL for us right now.
Hi, little sis, and keep up the good work. Angie Mulani from Under Lock and Key Entertainment, which is also my management company. Make sure everybody gets that mixtape Back to Business, Under Lock and Key Entertainment. It's featuring Angie Mulani. It's featuring me, Ms. Goldie, to you. And Angie, I can't wait to get to New York and see you, girl.
I miss you.
I know, I miss you, too. So the subject that we are speaking on is there's life after prison. And I know that you are a young woman, a college student, you are talented, you are educated, and you yourself have come into some interactions with law enforcement. So give us a little drop on that right quick.
Right. It's definitely, I just gained employment, but it's definitely hard to get employment after you've been incarcerated. I pretty much had the same situation happen. I was listening to the last caller, and it's messed up how we get caught up in the wrong time, at the wrong place at the wrong time. A lot of the time, it's not really our fault. And some police do be like, they know, but, it is what it is. In my situation, just because my loyalty was just so long and real, and I've been taught loyalty at a young age, so I had a lot of friends that wasn't doing the right thing and that just was taking a lot of opportunities and throwing them out the window over stupidity and gang violence or beef or hood beef. And now this is why I do what I do today, to try to educate my youth and my community about that. Because once you got a felony or any small little charge for even stealing out the store and getting caught, you go and try to, you know, go to a retail job. Like today, one of my friends told her about my job. They hired me. They didn't hire her because of her prior just stealing out of a regular store with her friends. She didn't even steal. It was just, you know, some of youth 2-3 years ago, and she was just caught up with her friends, and they all, you know, all got arrested, and now she couldn't get a job. So it's real messed up that a lot of times, you know, being incarcerated, it changed me, because that wasn't the life I wanted to live, you know. And there's been a couple times, you know, I made the mistake, not once, not twice, but at least 3 times where my life was cut short due to incarceration. And I learned my lesson with that. And, you know, it makes me want to go back and change it. But if I didn't go back and change it, I wouldn't know what I know today, you know, and I wouldn't try to do things that I do now. This is why now when I see police or if I see a situation, I just automatically remove myself or prevent it from happening. You know, it kind of still bothers me that I can't really do what I want to do. As you know, like he said, I got 2 college degrees that I can't really use because I can't work in the departments that I want to work in or the fields that I want to work in. So it's still a little stressful.
So here you are, someone who continued your education. You're not a deadbeat in the streets. You're not what society would call a regular everyday criminal. You're somebody that just got caught up. Now here you spent money on college. You spent money to try to, you know, to continue your life and do good things as far as your life is concerned, but yet and still you are held back because of prior things that occurred, and nobody gives you an opportunity to explain these things. It's not like you can say, yeah, I was just with my friends and they did this. Nobody really cares. What's the markers on your record? Is this on your record? So tell us some of the things that you have been doing to turn this around.
Well, like I said, you know, my loyalty runs strong. So now a lot of those people, out of the few, I can't say we all decided to change our lives. You know, when you're young, you go through things with your parents, or you're not getting along, and you gain a family within your friends, the people in the street, or whatever it is. A lot of us now are just trying to give back to our community. We're trying to open up places and create platforms for people, like anybody, not even people that have been incarcerated, people in foster care, people in just any institution that they don't really, I feel, belong in, especially, you know, not to be like color coordinated is what they say, racist or anything. But when it comes to my colored people, my women and my sisters, it's hard for us as women in general to even get through what we need to get through. So I'm just trying to create that platform for everybody to just come together and be about positive vibes. Right now, we need to stick together. Trump is running for president. Come on. You know? We got it.
Donald Trump is running for president. So tell us where we can reach you at. You know, maybe some young girls might want to link up with you. You know, maybe some other young people, because we need y'all to link together. So give us your information where everybody can reach you at.
You guys can reach me on Instagram at Mulani2Real. That's Mulani, M-U-L-A-N-I-I, 2-T-O-O, Real. And you can reach my Facebook at Angie Mulani, A-N-G-I-I-E, Mulani. And I'm just all over. Just Google me, man. I'm just trying to do big things. Big shout out to my management. Big shout out to Shy Ing, my guys, the whole team.
I love them. I love our management team. It's like we want big family over here under Lock and Key Entertainment. And thank you, little sister, for calling in. And thank you for sharing your story with us, because if we don't share our experiences and the things that we go through, we cannot educate one another, because sometimes we feel like we're isolated in certain situations. But there are people that are going through things.
We can't be ashamed of our struggle, because our struggles is going to bring us together as people.
Very well said, my sister. And if you have just tuned in, you are now live with the Miss Goldie T Radio Show, First Lady with the Facts, on Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives. And we are discussing the topic that there is life after prison. So we have people who are faced with the challenges of not being able to become productive citizens in our community because of their felonies. And then we have people that will be on the show later on this month that have went to jail. They have felonies. And, you know, they're continuing into the community. So we're going to take it to a song, and we will be right back with this heavy, heavy discussion on the Miss Goldie to You radio show.
Peace.
I don't see him on here, man.
Hello?
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 Yes.
I got something to say. This time it ain't nothing to play. Something's happened today. What's popping off in the streets got the people cray. Mars snatched the seas, caught up in the fray. The base they lay and the acts they display. It leaves a contempt which is worse than hate. But wait, let me take you back to the gate. Seal your fate. It's only 8:38. I need a 30-38 so I can blast your face. A master race, cause we all master race. I'm born to roll like a sworn master ace. I asked the Jakes, cause they all asked the shakes. I keep my eyes on his waist, hands high in the space. They mace and haste, burning brains, they displace. Freddy Grace, so I anchor to the kill police. Come on, come on.
I had been in my mind that somebody might be in this van because I heard Little Bang. The Little Bang that I heard, I thought he was hitting his head. I did not know what was going on, right? Until I got down to the police station, oh, they playing game. When I got down to the police station, they did not hear me when I heard them say we gave up our boys money.
Did you ever see Mr. Gray in the van?
21 gun salute. All we got is rocks to bust back, so we do. They use the crew, communicate via roofs. Air Force Ones against combat boots. We used to shoot, revolute as a group. But our mom sold us out, turning burners for loot. Don't abuse the truth, keep it click real tight. Shut your mouth, stay awake, cause when they use curfews, flip the script and go to school, play it cool. But if we have to, we blowing up that shit too. Go defend insecure females, I salute. But if a bitch sell me out, I'm going Ray Caru. In the spirit of Dessalines, Matt Turner and two. This bullshit has got to stop. And Frisk, motherfuck you and your snitch. The governor, president, mayor, and the commish. Come on, come on.
Let's talk a little bit more about that time inside the van. There's been a lot of attention given to what has been called, quote, rough rides, giving rough rides to people who are in custody. Can you explain to our viewers what that means?
Well, a rough ride is an unsanctioned technique. It's actually illegal.
Come on. Your culture commits to the soul, the flow spits. Streets is out switched, but still the shit clicks. It will test rise up from the bricks and those slits. You the true Hebrews in the book, the shoe fits. The truth is, they wanna see your ass a nuisance. The juice says, they put you on a crucifix. With no friends, the niggas just a dead motherfucker. Go ahead, motherfucker, bust lead, motherfucker. The DA claims to lay waste to the POs. Why stop there? Let's go for the COs. FOH, the state's case, far as we know, is open to shut. The watch it flip like casino. We know the riff with brass is really evil. This beef goes a long way back to when we rose up and made a run to the caves. White people, black people, from midnights to Creoles. Come on, come on.
Breaking news, six police officers suspended in Baltimore. This as new video surfaces tonight of a young black man arrested by police who went into a coma, dying from severe injury to his spinal cord. In this video, just into CNN, you see 25-year-old Freddie Gray screaming as he's dragged by police.
If you have just tuned in, you are now live with the Miss Goldie TU radio show. First Lady with the Facts on Culture Zine Radio Network, where urban culture lives. And that was Freedom Williams. Yes. That's how we get down over here at Culture Zine Radio Network. We support the independent artists. We support the good artists. I only like to play good music over here. And if you have just joined us, we are now on the subject, on the topic called There Is Life After Prison. And we have been hearing some wonderful stories. I encourage you to call in and share your story, 646-668-8287. We will be running this series for the whole month of October, which is every Tuesday, 8 p.m. Make sure you tune in make sure you log in. Now, I have my friend on the line who was also a guest on the show, Mr. Elgin Boxton from Every Penny Counts. Hi, Elgin.
Hey, hello. How you doing?
And thank you so much for calling in to the Miss Goldie T radio show again. So now you know the topic that we're on called There's Life After Prison. And I know that you have been through some incredible things and you have had a different way of, you know, the facing the challenges of reentry into the community. So why don't you share some of your history with us?
Well, history was I just and 2009, I caught a 9-year sentence for possession of narcotics with intent to sell in Connecticut. And with a good time, I had to do 4.5 years in jail because it was a nonviolent crime. Mm-hmm. So I was sentenced to 9 years.
And also, Connecticut is a Commonwealth state, correct?
It's something like that. The way that they sentence you, yeah, it's no joke.
Yeah, so they kind of make up their own laws as they go along. And, you know, tell us about some of the things that you suffered during your time being incarcerated and what you missed out on.
Well, definitely missed I have kids, so I definitely missed out on the kids' graduations from high school, college, middle school, deaths in the family and friends, and just, you know, just period, your freedom.
And that's very hard to deal with. And being in prison, what is it like when your family is going through things, your friends are going through things, your children are going through things, and you really can't do anything about it? So, you know, I want to hear what that's like from you and from Natural.
It's very hurtful knowing that your family's struggling. Like, my son played football and basketball. So I used to be at all his games, at the football and basketball games. So just knowing, you know, people seeing the father there at the sports event and then turn around, you don't see him there for the whole senior year. So they know something's wrong. It's embarrassing to the kid and everything like that, you know. And it's rough because, you know, you really can't control things from the inside like that. You only get 15-minute phone calls. You know, your best days is what, a letter in the mail, a visit, commissary. You know?
Right. Natural, are you still on the line? Okay, so we don't have Natural on the line. But as far as, you know, you know, doing your prison term, serving your good time, and reentering in the community, what were some of the challenges that you were faced with obtaining an employment?
Well, one thing I could say, they had this program called like a reentry program. So it basically what it did was I was able to get my birth certificate, you know, which they had to go through New York, send everything out. I had my Social Security card. You know, I had my resume done up. So it was like I was ahead of the game. So stepping out, I had a resume, had my ID and everything done. They have a motor vehicle that actually comes to the prison, you know, so I was able to get that done to be ahead of the game.
So was that program successful for you, and were you able to, you know, get employment that, you know, helped pay your bills, basically?
Program, it was successful to me as far as, like, getting the ID-wise and, you know, having a resume and doing mock interviews and things like that. But when it came to, like, employment, getting out, like, as soon as you fill that out and hand it in, and they say, have you been convicted of a felon? Going through all the interviews, callbacks, no callbacks.
And I could imagine that's frustrating for someone that's out, you know, just trying to do the right thing, trying to get a job. And, you know, what type of feeling does that give you time after time when you're going out and you're doing interviews and you keep getting turned down? That has to be frustrating, and it has to be something that make you want to go back to doing what you're doing or doing what you did to get yourself in jail. So how do you deal with that?
To be honest, you know, that's what kind of like pushed me towards owning my own and having my own business, like being frustrated. And I would be lying to you if I told you I didn't think about going back to them streets. But I knew the consequences, being on parole and everything else like that. And I just felt like, you know, just like give me a chance. Like just give me a chance. Someone just hire me. And, you know, one thing I could tell you, like being incarcerated, like in Connecticut, if anyone gets like their GED or has a high school diploma, the best thing that they was giving up was like computer classes. You couldn't even take college courses in there. So you were just like so limited to what you could do. So, you know, a lot of times people turn back to what they think they know best.
Right. And that's what's scary about the whole thing, because it's not like someone gets out of jail and says, you know what, I just want to go back. I don't think that people are saying that, you know, I want to go back. I think they just are frustrated with trying to get a job. They can't get a job. And I mean, when you're an adult, who's going to take care of you? But for so long, if you have a wife or a husband or a boyfriend or a girlfriend, I mean, they're only going to put up with you not being employed but for so long. If you have children, I mean, they want things, they need things. You're back home, you should be providing those things. And it must be really frustrating and difficult to stay on the straight and narrow when, okay, I've been locked up for all of these times, I done lost all of this stuff, and now here I am, I got my family coming at me because we need money, basically. So how easy or hard was it for you to become an entrepreneur?
It was hard. You know, I had to go. I had to go for it. And I'll give you an example of that right there. One thing I learned from this lady in there, she said, we teach people how to treat us. And I was like, what do you mean by that? She was like, you know, you took care of your family. You spoiled the kids. You gave them whatever they want, money, clothes, everything. And it was crazy because when I got out, my daughter then, she was like 12 years old. So, you know, she texted me one day. She was like, Dad, I want them KDs, and I want another pair of sneakers. And I'm like, oh, my God. She's like, are you going to do it? And I'm like, I got you. She's like, when? And, you know, I gave it to her. I gave her the money, and I let her do it. But I also had to explain to her that Daddy's trying to do the right thing now. And there's going to be times where I'm going to tell you that I don't have it versus me taking that risk going to get it and being out of your life for all these years. And, you know, it was understanding, but it was like a lot of pressure. And the lady was saying that we teach people how to treat us, meaning they're used to us taking care of them, giving them everything. And when I came right out, she looked at it the same way, like Daddy been giving me and spoiling me. He got it.
But she didn't realize the penitentiary chances. She didn't realize the penitentiary chances that you were taking to provide for her and to give her these things. And a lot of times our children don't understand. They just know that they get what they want. And I think that us as parents, we need to be more honest with our children and tell our children, you know, I mean, I used to tell my kids, you don't know what I had to do to get this while you steady asking for it. And they used to say, Mom, don't say that. I said, you could take it in a good way or a bad way. You can let your imagination run wild. But you don't know what I had to do to get what you are asking for. You don't know what I had to do to feed you. You don't know what I had to do to keep a roof over your head. And even though them being taken care of is not their responsibility, it is our responsibility, but we have to teach them the importance and the value of the things that we give them and the things that we have to go through to get it. So, you know, give everybody a little drop about Every Penny Counts.
Every Penny Counts basically was based off of, my mother used to say Every Penny Counts, and she would put money away every week and come up to Connecticut and get my kids and bring them back like to Yonkers, New York, and to New Jersey where she used to live. So when I was incarcerated in 2009 and 2013, she passed away on Easter from a brain tumor. So when she passed away, I decided once I got out 9.5 months after she passed away, I got out. I LLC'd everything. I trademarked it, and I turned it into a clothing line, into a brand, and built it into a business. I'm just bumping it all over the world.
tell everyone what your goal is with Every Penny Counts, and you know how they can be a part of that, because that Every Penny Counts is something that I do personally want to see go global, and I want to personally see, you know, reach other people. So, you know, tell them what the whole, it's not just a clothing line, but it's something that you want to do for the community.
God willing, this May coming up, we will be doing a scholarship in my mother's name, sending someone to college, and my son will be presenting that right there. We're in the community. I went to a kid's high school basketball preseason game the other day. I'm moving around looking at kids' football games, looking at Pop Warner kids, and the goal is to get into the school system for the little kids and teach them how Every Penny Counts, like I was saying before, as far as doing chores to earn the money. You know, going to them grocery stores and being the bag man, helping the older lady go into the car with the bag and earning that money, counting them bottles, that's 5 cents, and saving the money up instead of putting this pressure on, you know, the mother, the father, putting them in these positions. I see a lot of women, like you said, that go without to give their kids whatever, and it's a lot of times it's material stuff that they're going to grow out of. You know what I mean? I had to tell my daughter 60 days from now, them KD's going to be old. You're going to want another pair. Versus you can take this $100. Huh?
And not even 60 days. I mean, right after they left off the store, they old.
you right. When you could take $150 and get you a fly pair of Nikes and a pair of Pumas and something else, and you could be fly switching up a couple of different times.
But them kids don't want to hear none of that. Them kids want to be fly, and they not realizing that if you follow what Mr. Boxton is saying about Every Penny Counts, you can be able to go to college. You can be able to get that nice car that you want. You can be able to buy your own KDs. If you save them little nickels and dimes that you run into the corner store with and getting ices and chips and, you know, eat at home. Stop going to McDonald's. Stop going to Burger King. Eat at home sometimes. Stop eating Chinese food. You know, save that money. If grandma give you $5 for Chinese food, put that in your little bank and go home and get you a sandwich. That way, turn around a couple of years from now, when you see the car you like or the sneakers you like or that high school ring you want or that prom dress or whatever you're looking for, you can be able to provide it for yourself and, you know, help the parents out. And I would like to thank you, Elgin, for calling into the show. Tell everyone where they can reach you at.
You can reach me on Facebook at Elgin Boxton, ElginBoxton. You can reach me on Instagram, EveryPenny_count. You can go to the website, epcclothing1.bigcartel.com.
Yes, and thank you for thinking of the community and thinking of the people in the community. And I appreciate you, Elgin, so much. And everyone, make sure you check for Every Penny Counts, because it's a big thing. And, you know, each one, reach one, and we all have to teach one. So thank you so much, Elgin, for calling in to the Miss Cozy TU radio show. And I'm always going to be following you, and you're always welcome to be a guest on my show.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate everything, too. And I will be calling in more.
Yes, make sure you do, because, I mean, your conversation is great, and you have a lot to share with people, with the community, with the youth. And, I mean, I'm learning a lot. I'm not going to say I've been to prison, because I haven't, but I have had family members that have been in prison all my life. And what people don't know is when you go to prison, your family gets locked up as well. Right now I have a son in prison. My brother's been to prison. My mom, my dad. I mean, it's endless. I have family in prison, friends in prison that are doing serious bids. I mean, serious bids. I mean, I don't reach out to them as much as I should. And I'm going to start encouraging people. We need to write our people that's in jail. We need to send them cards. We need to let them know that they are not forgotten. And like he said, one of the best days of your life is when you receive a letter or when you get that commissary or when you get that picture. And we're out here saying, you know, we didn't get them locked up. Why? We got to write letters. But I mean, it's just to let people know that it's people out here rooting for you. And it's people out here that are waiting for you to come, and you're not just lost and left for dead in prison. Am I right?
You're correct all the way. And one more thing I want to say, too.
Yeah.
Being up here in Connecticut, altogether, I did 14 and a half years in jail. When I went to speak to the youth at Westchester County at Woodfield, mm-hmm. I told them, take them 14 and a half years and times that times 365 days to tell me how many days that is. I said, I don't even want to know. You add it up. That's days I'll never be able to get back.
Ever.
Ever.
All gone. And all thank gone. You for becoming productive and using your time wisely and reversing the effects, because we have the negative effects, we have the positive effects of being in prison, having a felony, having a record, and some people just can't get past that goal line. And, you know, some of us make it and some of us don't, but sometimes we have to pull the other ones along, and I appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate you, too.
And it is so good to see you. And I would like to thank everyone who tuned in to the Miss Goldie T Radio Show, First Lady with the Facts on Culturezine Radio Network, where urban culture lives. I encourage you to visit the website. I encourage you, independent and signed artists, to sign up for hiphopforjustice.com. We are looking for positive music. We are looking for people that are ready to change the world. I'm ready to change the world. Elgin is ready to change the world. Culturezine Radio Network is ready to change the world. And we need some more world changes around here, don't you think so?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so make sure everyone tunes in next Tuesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we continue our series called There Is Life After Prison. And next week, I will be bringing on some women, because, you know, we have a lot of men and that are felons and men that commit crimes, but we also have women who suffer from the same situations, and some women that have gotten their life back together. So make sure you tune in next week, 8 p.m. And thank you so much for joining me. See you next week.
She said it.